to speak to Alistair McDonald from the SDLP, who's got a point to make about it. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Put us in the picture, Jamie.
Well, the rates, removal of the rates cap that you referred to there was is part of a wide-ranging review announced last November by the outgoing finance minister. And I'll just mention a couple of the other things because it's important to see it just wasn't just one issue he was concerned about. He felt that the small businesses rate relief was that was spread too widely, and he wanted to target it more at, say, those businesses, especially in city centres and town centres that were involved in retail and hospitality, but going wider than that. He also wanted to charge at least some rates to charity shops. They don't pay anything at all. And he wanted to force business premise or business owners who have got empty premises and leave them lying empty, he wanted to charge them higher rates. But maybe the most controversial one was his plan to remove the cap on domestic rates. And what that meant was that a house valued at £400,000, that's when it was, the valuation took place for all properties in 2005, in other words, over 10 years ago. So a house that £400,000 house at that point would be worth considerably more today. That would be one costing more or valued at a higher amount would only pay the same as one costing £400,000. So in other words, that limited. So another to explain that more simply, a house valued at £1 million would pay exactly the same as a house which was valued at £400,000. So once you hit once your valuation hit the £400,000 limit, you would pay no more.
Okay, let me stop you there, Jamie, because I want to speak to Alistair McDonald from the SDLP about this. Alistair McDonald, good morning.
Good morning.
I know you have some reservations about this idea, and when Jamie DeLargy puts it like that, it's hard to see the argument against it. If someone has a house worth £1 million, they're paying the same rates as someone with a house at £400,000.
Yeah, well, it's not about the house. It's about the services you get. And I mean, you know, the rates that we pay, part of it goes to the City Council and part of it goes to Stormont. And the point about it is that I have been inundated from this announcement was made by pensioners and others living in parts of South Belfast where house valuations were relatively high, and they're scared. Most people are paying that have been on to me are paying £3,000 of rates, and they visualise that under this arrangement that it could go up to 5 or 6. Now, if you're a pensioner, and I have a lot of them, who bought houses 30 years ago when there were two salaries coming into the house, and they were able to buy a decent home and for themselves and their family, they're now possibly sitting, two of them, on meagre pensions, or indeed worse still, where one of them has died, the surviving partner or either husband or wife is basically living alone. And they're trying to make ends meet. And what's happening here is there will be a few hundred people forced to sell their homes because they won't be able to keep them up. They're struggling to keep them maintained at the moment. Now, there are many aspects of this. I am in favour of a fair rate system. I have no objection to the review. But what I would could be concern me deeply on behalf of my constituents is where there would be a fairly ruthless approach taken to the situation. Now, the other point is that I think you got to realise is that we pay more here in property tax than they do in the City of Westminster and London. And, you know, you could be sitting in or Kensington or some of those places, and the millionaires sitting on £25 million homes don't pay any more than we pay here. That's the point.
But there's an element of what you're saying about, you mentioned South Belfast, and you're painting the picture of the elderly pensioners in the very well-to-do houses. It seems like as if the SDLP are trying to protect the wealthy, a party that has social democratic labour in its title, as opposed to protecting the poor.
You can certainly put that twist on it, but I protect and work for all my constituents. We had a massive fair rates campaign back in 2009, And when basically there was an upheaval, the last upheaval in rates, and people were very angry, and people were a bit forced to sell their homes. Now, Frank, if you or your listeners think it's fair to force people out of their homes at 75 or 78 or 80 years of age, then it's fine. I had a retired civil servant come to me yesterday who said to me, look, he says, do what you can. He says, I'm living in a very small house, but it's valued at something over 450,000, I think 480 is something he said. It's only a relatively small three-bedroom house. He inherited from his parents, but he says, I'm going to have to sell it.
Do you think it will go through? Will this be forced through today?
Well, I think the minister has talked about consultation, and I see us as taking part in this consultation. I mean, if it's consultation, it's about ironing out these points. And, you know, I think it's only fair and just that a consultation should include the public. We have called a meeting tonight in the Wellington Park at 7 o'clock for people to basically have their say. I must have got 50 or 60 distress calls from people. And I mean, if I wasn't responding to those, Frank, you and others in your similar positions would be complaining that I wasn't doing my job. So, you know, what we're doing here is we're letting people have their say, and that's what true consultation is about, and that's what I think our politics has to move to. Because the other thing I don't want to go into particularly at this stage is, but people are deeply concerned about how the money's spent and how the money's wasted. And, you know, I think, you know, the Minister of Finance has come out with this against a backdrop now of this renewable heat initiative, and people are going to have money taken off them through the rate system where there's no specificity. People are saying to me, we wouldn't mind paying a little bit extra if we saw it going on education or on health or in cleaning the drains along the street that haven't been cleaned for years. That's the point. People want value for money. They want to know where their money's going and how it's been spent.
Okay.
So this is not a rebellion in any shape or form against people paying their fair share, but it's if you like, a reaction or an anxiety or a concern that people are ripped off and then the money is squandered and something foolish at Stormont.
Okay, Alistair MacDonald, thank you. Two points that Alistair MacDonald is making there. And I want to speak to John O'Dowd from Sinn Féin, who's available to have a conversation with us. I think I can get him on this line. I just have a little click here to make sure that we can get through to him. A slight issue with the line, but he is on this one. Well, with another flick, he may be. He certainly is now. John O'Dowd, my apologies. My fault entirely. Listening there to the Alistair MacDonald speaking, he puts a very stout defence on behalf of elderly people who live in a half-decent house who Sinn Féin have no thought for.
Well, I think in this day and age we have to be open and transparent and declare our interests. I will declare that the property I live in is not valued over £400,000. So the rates change being proposed by the Finance Minister will not have a direct negative impact upon me. So I think we should all declare if this rate change has an impact on you as a politician. The meeting being organised tonight is with Alistair MacDonald and Declan Boyle. Councillor Declan Boyle is a major property owner in Belfast. He owns properties throughout the Holy Land. So it's useful, I think, that politicians declare their interests in regard to this matter. But let's deal with some of the issues Alistair raised, and particularly in relation to the elderly. And as part of the consultation, the Minister has put forward proposals as to how we can protect the elderly who could be left vulnerable by the changes made to the property, because it's worth noting, even those elderly people who are living in properties below £400,000, it could be argued that they are compensating those who are living in properties over £400,000 because the rates pay for our public services. But in terms of mitigations, those in low incomes, including housing benefit, will be protected. Living alone and age 70 years of old will be protected. Of working age with savings of less than £16,000 will be mitigated against, and your pensioners have savings less than £50,000. So there is proposals within the consultation to protect the elderly and those in low incomes. But let's also look at this, what we're trying to achieve here, what the Minister is trying to achieve. The rates is the only tax varying, or one of the very limited tax varying powers we as an executive have. And through these changes, the Minister hopes to raise £4.5 million in this specific area. And if you look at it this way, Frank, for every £1 million you raise, you can employ an extra 30 teachers, an extra 30 nurses, perhaps another 50 classroom assistants, etc. So you have to put it in that context. So we have to raise rates, we have to raise income, and we have to spend it wisely. But we also have to do it fairly. There's no reason whatsoever why those people living in properties under £400,000 should be compensating those who live in properties over £400,000.
However, John O'Dowd, when I put it at the very beginning of the conversation that it was unfair to elderly people who have a half-decent house, you immediately reminded us that Dr. O'Donnell probably lives in a decent home.
I don't know where
Dr. Declan, who's the property magnate, probably lives in a half-decent home. But that's a smokescreen. We still go back to the issue whereby elderly people who worked hard, who have a house of some value now, may be forced to sell it. And that's hardly fair on the elderly of the generation that's just gone by.
Well, given the scandal around financial workings within the Assembly and the Executive, I think it's only right and proper that politicians are open and transparent about interests perceived or otherwise in any area of debate they're involved in. I have been out, Frank. My property is over £400,000. This doesn't impact on me. But I would question when a significant property owner in Belfast is calling a public meeting about rates. He's perfectly entitled to do so as an elected representative, but he should be open, transparent and clear with people he has interest in this field.
But no doubt at the meeting this evening, he may or may not say that he owns a significant number of properties. He's a duly elected local representative who has indeed got a vested interest in the people who elected him, who in his area are up in arms that they may have to pay an extra grand a year on rates. People don't want to pay the extra money on rates, especially those who are on the threshold or those who have nothing else other than the pretty valuable home. And to be able to pay the rates, they may have to move out of their family home to meet the requirement of Sinn Féin.
This is why it was important that I listed the mitigating factors that the Minister has included in his consultation document. And it is important that people respond to the consultation document. And indeed, it's important people read the consultation document. But at the very heart of this is how we introduce a fair rating system to ensure that everyone is paying their fair share to society and that those monies collected from the public are used wisely and transparently by our executive and by our government. And when much concentration will take place in those whose properties are over £400,000, it's worth noting that those people who live in properties below £400,000, those who live in properties of £100,000, £125,000, £200,000, etc., are compensating those who live in properties over £400,000. So every time we make a rates freeze somewhere or we give a reduction somewhere in the rate system, somebody else has to pay for that because we have to continue to pay for our public services. What the Minister is proposing here through the consultation is that we remove the rates cap of over £400,000. We put in mitigations for those who are vulnerable as a result of that change. We use the £4.5 million, which the Minister wishes to raise as a result of those changes, and invest in public services. I think there's a firm logic to that. I think if people have other ideas in relation to mitigations, then those should be brought forward, and I'm sure the Minister will look at those. But it's about how we manage our society, how people pay a fair and equal share to that society. And because the debate will concentrate on those over £400,000. Should those below £400,000 be compensating those people who live in bigger houses and bigger and more expensive properties?
And finally, John O'Dowd, how will it play out today? Because some people are feeling they mightn't get their rates bill or their rates bill might be delayed. Will this be an issue today? Will it move forward today? Where is it in the maelstrom that is today at Stormont?
Well, let me be clear, your rates bill will arrive at some stage and you will be tasked with paying your rates. What's going to happen today is that there may be some political drama within the Assembly today. I hope people approach it from a sensible and responsible approach and that we get through what could prove to be a very difficult day in our local politics and that we move then speedily to an election. Everyone has had their say in this, the politicians, the media, the commentators have all had their say in relation to the RHI scandal, etc. It's now time to allow the public to have their say and to make their verdict on how politics should work in this society.
And no last-minute change by nominating a Deputy First Minister?
There will be no nomination by Sinn Féin today of a Deputy First Minister. That's one thing I know for sure will not happen today. What else happens today, I cannot predict.
Okay, John O'Dowd, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. Jamie is listening to all of that. Jamie, you've heard the two pitches. What's your analysis, please?
I think perhaps the weakness, if we just take Alistair's argument, is that, yes, it is conceivable that there will be some people who live in a very large house who have a very small income, and that they now face the prospect of losing it. But those numbers are very limited. This is going to impact on something like, as Alistair accepts himself, 7,000 people. So what you have, if you remove or keep the rates cap, is that you have maybe 6,500 who are well able to pay the extra money, and they're sort of hiding under the skirts of the widow, the 500 widows, and that's a lot of widows who simply can't pay. So in other words, what I'm saying is, if you keep the rates cap, you are really safeguarding an awful lot of people who are in a very good position, who are well able to pay the extra money. So if the criticism, if you like, of John O'Dowd's argument is that the mitigation doesn't cover every single case. Well, then the argument there is to improve the mitigation. In other words, it's a horrible term, mitigation. What you mean is looking after those who are very badly affected. Now, if the plans that they've got don't really protect everybody that we would be concerned about, and we think of the elderly widow with a small income living in a very large house, which was a family house for maybe half a century, that, you know, that we don't want her feeling nervous, feeling worried about her future situation, well, then protect her situation. But that doesn't mean to say that you should then keep a cap which benefits, as I say, the vast majority who are well able to pay. Because so you would think it's a very odd situation that the 7,000 people who live in our most expensive homes, that nearly all of them turn out not to be able to pay a little bit more on the rates. You know, you think that's a very odd situation. You think it would tend to be the case that those people who live in the biggest, the most expensive and grandest houses are probably able to pay a bit more, except for a few, and we need to protect those people. And if the protection doesn't go, isn't well enough crafted, well then make it better.
Okay, Jamie, thank you very much indeed. Jamie DeLargy's analysis and the input from the SDLP's Alistair McGee.